What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you?
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Tuesday, June 27, 2017 edition of the American Awakening. I am your host, Michael Herzog, and I'll be with you for the next 2 hours. Interesting lead into tonight's show. Should fit quite comfortably with the information I have at hand. But before I get into that, let me remind everybody that tomorrow night I've got Eric Hughes-Jones coming up. We're going to kibitz a little bit, talk a little bit about Tom Lacovara and what else is going on in Eric's life, and also share a few other things of interest to the listening audience that I'm sure you'll be interested in hearing. Tell you what, I'm going to start this program out. Well, no, before I do that, let's just go to this little clip I pulled up, which I find fascinating. It's not really on topic for what tonight's program is, but I'm going to read it to you anyway. Roger Stone is going to testify before the House Intel Committee in July. He's testifying next month as part of the probe into Russian interference in the 2016 election. And that's what his lawyer told Politico Tuesday. Stone, a former Trump campaign advisor and frequent defender of the president, will appear in a closed hearing on July 24th. You know why it's closed, folks? If they don't assassinate him first because they've already made two attempts on his life, it's closed because he's going to go tell the truth. They don't want us to hear the truth. And the truth is that Roger can blow the lid off the fact that there is no Russian interference. That's why it's a closed session. So, shifting gears, let's get into tonight's program. Now, before I get into this, I'm going to have my buddy in the engineering room, Mike, play about a 5-minute 57 clip, which will tell you a little bit about what's going on this program. Go ahead, Mike.
Since 9/11, under just one program, police have taken $2.5 billion in the course of over 61,000 seizures of cash alone from people who, and this is the mind-blowing part, were not charged with a crime.
Senator, talk to us a little bit about another project you're working on. It has to do with civil forfeiture. Tell us what that is.
Well, basically, the government can take money from you without ever convicting you, without ever even charging you.
If police suspect that you committed a crime, they can arrest you and put you on trial. At that trial, prosecutors must prove you are guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. But if police suspect your car was involved in a crime, they can take it, sell it, and in most places, pocket the proceeds to pad their budgets. They need not prove you committed any crime or even arrest you to take your property away.
In fact, the most famous U.S. attorney for doing this is Loretta Lynch. She confiscated $110 million worth of people's stuff, never tried them, never even took them to court, just kept their money. And it turns justice on its head because you're presumed to be guilty until you prove that you're innocent.
That's right. You can lose your property and money even if you haven't done anything wrong.
It's a very powerful tool to seize the assets of a citizen. But we also know that the way this really came about was, you know, a lot of folks using that money in connection with drug dealing and that type of thing. And we got to be very careful about being able to make sure that they don't profit from that type of activity.
A couple weeks ago in Philadelphia, a teenage son was selling $40 worth of illegal drugs out of the house. They confiscated the house and kicked the family out. How is this helping a family that's struggling with a teenager who's on drugs to take their house from them? Right. It's crazy and it ought to stop.
With civil forfeiture, your property is guilty until you prove it innocent to get it back. And because most state and federal laws allow police and prosecutors to pocket the proceeds, they have a big incentive to pursue profits, not justice. How big? In 1986, the Justice Department's forfeiture fund took in $94 million. Now, it has more than a billion.
Motel Caswell, 2011, government tried to seize family's property, claiming that some drug incidents happened within the motel. But the motel owners, their property was seized?
Yeah, $1.5 million motel. And over a 14-year period, over 200,000 people stayed in the motel. And I think they accused about 6 or 10 of actually selling drugs out of the motel, not, you know, under the permission of the motel. And then they take the motel. One of the reasons they took the motel, even though there are other motels in the area that had the same problem, they took this motel because it was paid for and they can keep all the proceeds.
If police decide your money is suspicious, they can take that too.
Another case, Victor Ramos Guzman in 2011, stopped for speeding, not given a ticket, but the $28,500 in cash in his car was seized. Tell us about that.
Well, he was taking the money from to his church. It was from one church to the head church in another town a couple hours away. No one ever accused him of being related to the drug trade or of getting this money illegally. But it shouldn't be the onus on him to prove that he's innocent. The government should have to prove that you're guilty before they take your stuff. This is going on all the time. And when the Washington Post looked at it last year, a disproportionate amount of the people were poor, black, or Hispanic. And so this is another evidence of the war on drugs not being racist on purpose, but inadvertently having a racial outcome. And we ought to be very conscious of this because the people who are affected by it are very conscious of it.
Law enforcement gets to keep and use this suspicious money to pad their budgets. But wouldn't all money look suspicious if you could buy a break room margarita machine with it?
Like, how do you decide forfeiture funds?
You know, it's usually based on a need. Well, I'll take that back.
Discretion, though, I'd imagine you sign off on.
Yeah, there's some limitations on it. You know, it's actually there's not really on the forfeiture stuff. We just usually base it on something that would be nice to have.
When you say they take the money, remember something, that making those type of deposits under $10,000 repeatedly and not reporting that activity to the government has been codified against the law. And so, you know, part of the problem here is that, you know, when you take money from a civil asset forfeiture perspective, let's talk about the federal side of things. When the IRS takes that money, they don't get to keep the money unless they prove that you, in fact, did do something wrong. And that often becomes part of a negotiation in a plea agreement on a criminal side, or if you've violated the civil laws, something as part of a settlement.
Mm-hmm. Most people who've lost stuff to civil forfeiture just choose to walk away rather than fight.
We did that many times in the U.S. Attorney's Office, and I'm comfortable with the tool being available.
It's kind of like pennies from heaven, you know, it gets you a toy or something that you need, is the way we typically look at it.
And Senator, you had the president's here, and what was his response to this?
The president is interested in doing something in this, but it's funny how the president will come forward and say he's interested in doing something, but then he appointed Loretta Lynch, who's actually opposed.
Okay, folks, that ends that. Yes, they can, seize your car if they suspect your car of committing a crime. Even though you didn't commit a crime. And is it any surprise that Loretta Lynch got $110 million of people's money? Well, she didn't get it personally, but it was under her reign. The stuff, you know, the cash, the cars, the houses, the hotels. And they never charged anybody. They confiscated a house because a teenager was selling a few drugs out of them. Instead of taking the teenager to jail, and, you know, well, in their case, trying to rehabilitate them, ha ha ha, they just take the people's house. And they're guilty till proven innocence. Yes, they have now seized more than $1 billion in people's assets. They seized a motel because, well, between 6 and 10 people were accused of selling drugs out of the hotel, but never, they weren't convicted of it, but they seized the hotel because the hotel was paid for. No limitations, according to the police chief. It's pennies from heaven, quote from him. Anything they need, something they want, they find money on you. Well, it might smell like cocaine because at one point or another, one of your dollar or $10 or $20 bills may have been used in a cocaine purchase. So, well, that's enough evidence for them to seize it, and you're guilty till proven innocent. You have to prove that it wasn't used for that. Isn't that wonderful? So, the premise of my show, bad boys, what are we going to do? You know, folks, police pull over more than 50,000 drivers on a typical day. More than 20 million motorists every year. Now, does that mean that 50,000 people are breaking the law every day? Is there an epidemic of lawbreakers on our streets? Well, of course not. So why are police stopping 20 million motorists every year? Well, police across the country don't just ticket millions of Americans every year. They are also questioning them. Now, unfortunately, the Open Policing Project doesn't mention how many passengers are stopped and questioned by police every year. Now, most people travel with someone. So it's fair to say police are stopping and questioning approximately 40 million motorists every year. Police are also using at least 15 different types of checkpoints to stop and question motorists. And in what country would it be acceptable to stop and question millions of people? Certainly not America, the land of the free, right? For years, police have had to meet ticket quotas during their shifts. A Google search for "Do police have quotas?" returned over 5 million hits, and a Google search for "Police ticket quotas 2017 returned close to 6 million hits. In 2015, a Boston Globe story said traffic ticket quotas are real. Officers were told to issue more revenue-generating tickets. Officer Tom Delaney said that officers who didn't operate under the system wouldn't get overtime assignments or any other perks. It's the same story across the country. Police departments send text messages to officers on the road, reminding them to reach their quotas during their shifts. In 2015, a New York Police Department officer claimed he was texted about not meeting ticket quotas and denied a night off. And a recent story in The Advocate revealed that police deleted every text message to keep the public from reading their texts. This year, in 2017, the New York Police Department agreed to pay $56.5 million to people written bogus tickets by police. Now, if the public knew how much money is being made off motorists each year from taxes, from fines, from arrests, well, there would be a public outcry, I would think. How often police stop motorists is a secret. The Open Policing Project points out that police don't want the public to know how many people are stopped each year. Some states don't collect the demographics of who the police pull over. States that do collect the information don't always release the data. Why do we know how many people are arrested for drunk driving each year but have no data about how many motorists have been ticketed by police? The most common police interaction, the traffic stop, has not been tracked, at least not in any systematic way. It's 2017, and we still don't know how many motorists are being stopped and ticketed in America. States like California and Texas have stopped 24 to 32 million motorists from 2009 to 2015, while states like Rhode Island and Montana have stopped approximately 500,000 to 825,000 motorists. For all the talk of open policing and transparency, this project proves that it's all just talk. Secrecy is a cop's number one priority. And let me interject here. During my trip from Arizona to Round Rock, Arizona seems to have caught on now to an idea that New Mexico came up with years ago, that being the, quote, safety corridor, because fines double in the safety corridor. And that's where usually you'll find the cops hanging out. You do 5-10 miles over the speed limit just going down the freeway on Highway 10 in Arizona, no big deal. You can go by going 82-83 miles an hour with a cop sitting right there, and he will do nothing. But try to do that in a safety corridor. You're going to get pulled over, you're going to get ticketed, and the fine's going to be double. Well, shifting gears, let's go into Texas. Texas, I find, has a lot of these traffic zones, work zones, where there's no workers. Nobody out there doing anything, but the fines double if you speed in an area where it's a work zone. And these work zones go on for miles, and it's amazing to see the cops hiding behind the trees, under an overpass, or wherever, and it just coincidentally happens to be one of those zones. Colored drivers are 2 to 3 times more likely to be searched. The Open Policing Project found that police require less suspicion to search black and Hispanic drivers than whites, and they're 2 to 3 times more likely to be searched. After accounting for age, gender, and location, we find that officers ticket, search, and arrest black and Hispanic drivers more often than whites. When pulled over for speeding, black drivers are 20% more likely to get a ticket rather than a warning, than 20% more likely than white drivers. And Hispanic drivers are 30% more likely to be ticketed than white drivers. Black and Hispanic motorists are about twice as likely to be searched compared to white drivers. Now, when we applied the threshold test to our public stop data, we find police require less suspicion to search black and Hispanic drivers than whites. This double standard is evidence of discrimination. This is the first study that shows police are stopping and questioning thousands of motorists every day and millions of passengers every year. Now, why are they doing this? Well, what is it now? 28 states have this asset forfeiture procedure, and they trick you into searching your car. One of the tricks that they use, and I've watched YouTube videos on it, is the cop will walk up to your car, even if you crack the window 2 inches, and he'll say, "Well, I smell alcohol." And they ask you questions, and they intimidate you, or try to. If you don't know exactly what to say or what how to respond to the police officer is going to ultimately ask you to step on out of the car, say, "I smell alcohol," or "May I search your car?" And if you say no, he'll say, "Well, I'll call in for the drug-sniffing dogs." And they try to intimidate us into allowing us to search the car. And it's all a fishing expedition. So the next time you're stopped by the police, exercise your right not to speak. To travel freely in America is not a privilege. It's one of our constitutional rights. Now, why do I say this? Well, as I've said before, folks, on previous shows, the deep state has us on their list. We are called deplorables, and yes, we are their enemy. Now, that said, I received an email from Pat in Arkansas, which, thank you, Pat, answers the question as to why they invited Senator Tom Cotton to the Bilderberg, last month. Now, Pat says, "I think I just figured out," and I read this on my show a few weeks ago, right after Bilderberg, "I think I just figured out why Bilderberg is interested in Tom Cotton. He wants Gitmo filled up. Not enough Americans in prison. Having coffee with Cotton in a small police station in counties, inviting local mayors and Chamber of Commerce members, promoting more military spending. He is busy promoting the police and the military state 24/7. Little pipsqueak trying to act tough and shove police state on all of us." Now, between 1970 and 2005, and oh, by the way, the asset forfeiture fits into this because they're looking for cash. They're looking for a reason to take your car because it benefits them. They're looking for anything that they can find and tie it into a possible excuse that it could have been involved in some kind of a crime. Then they take it and they get it because you're guilty, or your property is guilty until you prove it innocence, which many times costs more to prove it innocent than to just forfeit it. Why are they doing this? Well, there's another method to their madness, folks, and that is the privatized prisons. Between 1970 and 2005, United States prison population grew 700%, far outpacing both population growth and crime rates in America. 5% of the world population and 25% of the world of prisoners has 25%. The highest rate of youth incarceration, 130,000 every year. And the biggest winners in this, it's not us, it's not the public. The private prisons are making giant profits at the expense of our freedom. And guess what? The top executives that are in these prison corporations, the top executives are making in excess of $3 million a year. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in three. I'll continue with this. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Round Rock, Texas. See you on the other side. It's too late to make it right. I probably wouldn't if I could. Cause I'm mad as hell. Can't bring myself to do what it is you think I should. Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines,
pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're back with the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host, coming to you live from Round Rock, Texas. Now, before I get back to this, asset forfeiture and the police and the tricks that they use in the private prisons, I want to remind everybody, I was on John's show today. We were talking about a few things. Didn't go into a heck of a lot of detail, but we're still in a pledge drive. We're a little bit behind. There's some bills that need to be paid. John and I spent some time today working behind the scenes trying to figure out a few ways to put the store back together. And there's a couple of projects that we're working on that are, well, they're pretty interesting, kind of fascinating. I'm kind of excited about them, actually. I'm going to be taking, as some of you listeners may have heard on John's program today, I'm going to be taking a couple of other trips. There's another IT guy that happens to be my son that I'm going to ask to help put together this store, and we've got some packages that we're going to be bringing up in the not-too-distant future. But in the meantime, I'm going to ask you if you can, you know, find your way clear to send 20, 30, 40, 50 bucks. Every little bit counts. And I see these little notes on every one of these pledges that come in, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, sometimes 100, 200, sometimes 500. And they add up, and they pay the bills while we're getting through this. And I want to thank you, and I want to tell you that every little bit helps, folks, and I appreciate the donations that are being made. And I'm going to tell you that this is not going to be a forever thing. I would hope that everybody could kick in 20, 30 bucks a month to help out on a regular basis. We're doing everything behind the scenes we can do to eliminate this. But in the meantime, yes, we do need your support. So if you would, pick up the phone, dial 800-724-2719, extension 3. Talk to Mike. Give a donation, whatever amount that you can afford. Don't take any food off your table, folks. We don't want that. But we want your support. We want your continued listening, and we're hoping what we bring to you is valued information. We want you to tell your friends. We want you to invite them if you're not able to communicate, or if you run into a situation that many callers call in and say, well, I don't know how to talk to them, or they're still stuck in the mud, or they've got their head in the ground, or whatever. Just invite them to come into RBN. Take a listen. Some people turn away. Other people get hooked. Anyway, back to this. Go to the website, republicbroadcasting.org. Click on the donate button, the PayPal button. Donate 20, 50 bucks, 100 bucks, whatever you can get away with. It doesn't take food off your table. Or you can take a check, cash, or cash in, I guess, tinfoil, or money order. Put it in an envelope. Send it to RBN at 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302. Round Rock, Texas, 78664. That'll help. Folks, as I said, or as John has said, we're probably a little bit over halfway there, but we're also behind in what we wanted done. We were hoping to get this done within 30 days, and it's been almost 2 months. So we know the economy's bad. We know you hate to hear us barking at you like that. We don't like to bark at you. You know that. But we do this because it's out of necessity. But there's some exciting things, trust me, going on behind the scenes that John and I are working on. And we're going to pull this together. We're going to pull it out. And John and I are already talking about some other things that are probably going to happen in the not-too-distant future. I'm not going to disclose those to you right yet, but they're all positive things. And they're all things that are looking at RBN as the number one priority, because I really believe, folks, with what's going on out there, RBN is going to be the last bastion standing in our fight to, well, shall I say, regain or attain our freedom. And not just for us, but for our children and grandchildren. So think about that. And again, like the commercial says, think about, you know, what RBN has done for you, how much have you learned from it, and donate accordingly. Thank you. With that, I'll take another minute, get back to this, and then we'll take a break, and I'll continue. So, as I said before, between 1970 and 2005, the U.S. prison population grew by 700%, far outpacing both population growth and crime rates. But between 1990 and 2009, the number of people in private prison has increased by a whopping 1,600%. The entire business plan of these companies depend on locking more and more people up. The CCA, the Prison Corporation of America, is particularly concerned about the decriminalization of drug use and looser restrictions on immigration laws. They have no worries about that in the near future, and I'll get to that a bit later, because of the current president and his attorney general. But I'll talk more about that after a bit. Taking another break. We'll be back in three. See you on the other side.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's Angioprim.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Folks, we're back with the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host, coming to you live from the studio in Round Rock, Texas. Yes, they're making money on putting people in prison, folks. Private prison firms spend a lot of money lobbying politicians. To put it mildly, they also make large campaign contributions to governors, state legislatures, and judges. Campaign contributions influencing politicians to continue allowing these insidious systems to stay in place for both politicians, judges, and prison executives to make enormous greedy profits on depriving nonviolent offenders of their freedom. Because there's a big money in it. Not so much for the guards and prison employees, because they're actually underpaid. You see, they don't wear a badge and they don't take an oath like the federal and state prisons do. Now, these are private prisons. These are just people that are hired off the street and walk around with their uniforms on. They pay them $10, $11, $12 an hour, and they reap magic and major rewards for it. These facilities are very poorly run. Their low-level employees and guards are very underpaid, and they take no official oaths, as I said, like the state or federal prison guard would. They are very lax in their training, leading to more dangerous conditions in their facilities. Signing contracts with states guaranteeing high occupancy rates. Rational thinking would suggest that means the states would put pressure on judges to inflict higher incarceration numbers for, Well, nonviolent crimes and longer sentences so the states wouldn't have to pay out of their treasury for the unused beds. This, on top of three companies in Pennsylvania bribing officials to get beds in their facilities filled. Prime example, back in August of 2011, Luzerne County Judge Mark Ciabarelli, Jr., was sentenced to 28 years in jail after sending children to detention centers owned by these companies in return for illegal payments amounting to millions of dollars. Some of these children were as young as 10 years old. The program was called, under the table, Kids for Cash. Now, with immigration reform, this is rapidly becoming a worldwide phenomenon. This out of the blog, Jailing Americans for Profit, The Rise of the Prison Industrial Complex. This is by John W. Whitehead. Mass incarceration on a scale almost unexampled in human history is a fundamental fact of our country today. Perhaps the fundamental fact, as slavery was the fundamental fact of 1850. In truth, there are more black men in the grip of the criminal justice system, in prison, on probation, or on parole, than were in slavery then. Overall, there are now more people under correctional supervision in America, more than 6 million, than were in the Gulag Archipelago under Stalin at its height. In the age where freedom is fast becoming an exception rather than the rule, imprisoning America in private prisons run by mega corporations has turned into a cash cow for big business. At one time, the American penal system operated under the idea that dangerous criminals needed to be put under lock and key in order to protect society. But today, as states attempt to save money by outsourcing prisons to private corporations, this flawed yet retributive American system of justice is being replaced by an even more flawed and insidious form of mass punishment based upon profit and expediency. As author Adam Gopnik reports for The New Yorker, a growing number of American prisons are now contracted out as for-profit businesses to for-profit companies. The companies are paid by the state, and their profit depends on spending as little as possible on the prisoners and the prisons. Now, it's hard to imagine any greater disconnect between public good and private profit. The interest of private prisons lies not in the obvious social good of having the minimum necessary number of inmates, but in having as many as possible housed as cheaply as possible. Now consider this. Despite the fact that violent crime in America has been on the decline, the nation's incarceration rate has tripled since 1980. Approximately 13 million people are introduced to American jails in any given year. And incredibly, more than 6 million people are under correctional supervision in America, meaning that 1 in 50 Americans are working their way through the prison system, either as inmates or while on parole or probation. And according to the Federal Bureau of Prisons, the majority of those being held in federal prisons are convicted of drug offenses, namely marijuana. And presently, one out of every 100 Americans is serving time behind bars. So, it's a little wonder, then, that public prisons are overcrowded. Yet, while providing security, housing, food, medical care, etc., for 6 million Americans is a hardship for cash-strapped states like Illinois, like California, to these profit-hungry corporations such as Corrections Corporation of America and GEO Group. The leaders in the partnership corrections industry, it's a $70 billion gold mine. Thus, with an eye toward increasing its bottom line, CCA has floated a proposal to prison officials in 48 states offering to buy and manage public prisons at a substantial cost savings to the states. And in exchange, and here's the kicker, folks, the prisons would have to contain at least 1,000 beds, and the states would have to agree to maintain a 90% occupancy rate in the privately run prisons for at least 20 years. Now, can you see how, behind closed doors, the glad handing between the lobbyists and the politicians, and the judges, for that matter, it's a big business for them. And they all agree to it, because the more people they put in there, the more money they make, which flies in the face of actual justice, flies in the face of what is right. It's what is expedient and profitable to them. And the problem with this scenario, as Roger Werholz, the former Kansas Secretary of Corrections, recognizes, is that while states may be tempted by the quick infusion of cash, they would be obligated to maintain these occupancy rates, and the subtle pressure would be applied to make sentencing laws more severe, with a clear intent to drive up the population. Now, unfortunately, that's exactly what has happened. Among the laws aimed at increasing the prison population and growing the profit margins of special interest corporations like CCA are the, as you've probably heard, the three strike laws, mandating sentences of 25 years to life for multiple felony convictions, and the truth in sentencing legislation, mandating that those sentenced to prison serve most or all of their time. And yes, in case you were wondering, part of the investment pitch for CCA and its cohort GEO group include the profits to be made in building kinder, gentler, minimum security facilities designed for detaining illegal immigrants, especially low-risk detainees like, well, women and children. With immigration a persistent problem in the southwestern states especially, and more than 250 such detention centers going up across the country, there is indeed money to be made. For example, GEO's new facility in Karnes County, Texas, boasts a 608-bed facility still smelling of fresh paint and new carpet stretching across a 29-acre swath of farmland in rural South Texas. Now, rather than prison cells, jumpsuits, and barbed wire fencing, the detainees here will sleep in an 8-bed dormitory-style quarters, wearing more cozy attire like, well, jeans and t-shirts. The facility's high walls enclose lush green courtyards with volleyball courts, an AstroTurf soccer field. And this is where it gets creepy, folks. Observer reporter Joe Wiesenthal for Business Insider quotes, "Because as an investor, you're pulling for scenarios where more people are put in jail," unquote. In making its pitch to potential investors, CCA points out that private prisons comprise a unique, recession-resistant investment opportunity with more than 90% of the market up for grabs. Little competition, high recidivism among prisoners, and the potential for accelerated growth in inmate populations following the recession. In other words, caging humans for profit is a sure bet, because the United States population is growing dramatically, and the prison population will grow proportionately as well, and more prisoners equal more profits. Now, on the pretext of being tough on crime, state governments can fatten their coffers and fill the jail cells of their corporate benefactors. However, while a flourishing privatized prison system is a financial windfall for corporate investors, it bodes ill for any measures aimed at, well, reforming prisoners and reducing crime. CCA understands this. As it has warned investors, the efforts to decriminalize certain activities such as drug use, oh no, they don't want it decriminalized. They want to continue seeing those long sentences handed out for nonviolent crimes. And by the way, Jeff Sessions is an advocate of this. Principally the possession of marijuana. That legalizing marijuana could cut into their profits. And so too would measures aimed at reducing the prison system's disproportionately racist impact on minorities, given that the incarceration rate for blacks is 7 times that of whites. Immigrants are also heavily impacted, with roughly 2.5 million people having been through the immigration detention system since 2003. And as private prisons begin to dominate, the many troubling characteristics of our so-called justice, or the criminal justice system today, the racism, the economic inequality, the inadequate access to legal representation, the lack of due process, etc., will only become more acute. And interjecting here, talking about the inadequate access to legal representation, I went through this on a personal level, 8-9 years ago. Some of you may recall when my then Scottish wife, who had a 19-year-old daughter, went in for her annual, immigration review. They do that once a year. She went in for her review, they arrested her, and threw her in Florence Prison. It was an immigration prison down below Phoenix in Arizona. Probably about 50 miles below Phoenix. They held her for about 40 days and they deported her. And at the time when I was married to the Scottish wife, we went to an immigration attorney who wanted, it was an enormous amount of money. I think it was $15,000 to fight the case. And after we spoke about it in great detail and analyzed and rationalized all of it, we realized that there was nothing that could be done, and we were simply giving the money to the attorney because he could do nothing about it. She was ultimately deported, and my then Scottish wife was going to be deported later on, and eventually she went back to Scotland. Tried to get back in the United States. They banned her from coming back to the United States, stamped it right on her passport. So, and by the way, we tried at that time to do it right. So, moving forward, I'll get off that subject. Doubtless, a system already riddled by corruption will eventually become more corrupt as well. For example, consider the Kids for Cash scandal I spoke about earlier, which rocked Luzerne County, Pennsylvania, back in 2009. For 10 years, the Mid-Atlantic Youth Service Corporation, which specialized in private prisons for juvenile offenders, paid these judges to jail youths and send them to private prison facilities. The judges, who made over $2.5 million in the scam, had more than 5,000 kids come through their courtrooms and sent most of them to prison for petty crimes such as stealing a DVD from Walmart or trespassing in vacant buildings. When the scheme finally came to light, one judge was sentenced to 17 and a half years in prison, and the other one, as I said, received 28 years. But not before thousands of young lives had been ruined. In this way, minor criminals, from drug users to petty thieves, are being handed over to corporations for lengthy prison sentences which do nothing to protect society or prevent recidivism. This is the culmination of an inverted justice system which has come to characterize the United States, a justice system based upon increasing the power and the wealth of the corporate state. No matter what the politicians or corporate heads might say, prison privatization is neither fiscally responsible nor in keeping with principles of justice. It simply encourages incarceration for the sake of profit, while causing millions of Americans, most of them minor, nonviolent criminals, to be handed over to corporations for lengthy prison sentences which do nothing to protect society or prevent the recidivism. This perverse notion of how prisons should be run, that they should be full at all times and full of minor criminals, is downright evil, folks. There's no other way to put it. This is not justice, this is profit. And when we look around, and some of the information you hear from some of the great hosts on this network, this is happening across this country in every realm. These politicians are in lockstep with these lobbyists, and they're greasing each other's pocket, making behind-the-scenes deals. Anytime there's any semblance of trying to get to the bottom of any kind of scandal, they're doing it behind closed doors because they don't want the public to know that they're all in cahoots together. But guess what? Donald Trump ran last year. He campaigned. He told us everything we wanted to hear. He was going to get rid of NAFTA and GATT. He was going to build a wall. He was going to do all these wonderful things. He was going to get rid of Obamacare. Well, we've seen him in office now for about close to 6 months, 5 months. He's done a few things, but a lot of things that he's done fit right in goose-stepping with the deep state and the powers that be. Private prisons are back under Trump. The reason private prisons are back in vogue is simple, because Trump has made sweeping promises to crack down on crime and illegal immigration. I'm not saying that illegal immigration is a good thing, but I'm talking about they need to point the finger where the finger needs to be pointed, and that is criminal illegal immigration first. We'll take the break. We'll be back in three. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. Stick around. More to come.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Hi folks, let's wind the clocks back 60 years. Food was different. Food provided health and nutrition, and using supplements was minimal. Unfortunately, now we have chemicals, GMOs, herbicides, and pesticides that can be quite lethal in the name of our food supply, and of course the ever-loving dollar. Supplementing our diets can be very important to stay healthy. Cleansing from daily intruders to the body might be critical. Live strong and take charge. Log on to GetTheTea.com. Our herbal tea is a great way to cleanse from intruders. Our supplements is a great way to maintain and improve your health. When your health is not up to par, go to GetTheTea.com. No GMOs, no fillers, and organic. And very helpful in keeping you at the top of your game. Life is too short to feel, you know what I mean. Stay in the game. At the top of your game with GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Again, GetTheTea.com.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
I'm not backing down, folks. This is Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from the studios of Round Rock, Texas. Back with you for the next hour. Oh, it's not the top of the hour yet. I've got a few minutes here. Yes, Trump has made sweeping promises to crack down on crime and illegal immigration. Wall Street calculated quickly that Trump's rhetoric is likely to translate into more people behind bars. And guess what? That means more profits for private prisons. You know, I read an article here not too long ago that the stock in private prisons doubled just since Trump was elected. Stock market hits the 10th straight record high. We're getting really bad dudes out of this country, and at a rate that nobody's ever seen before. That was a quote by Trump, a while back. I'm not sure exactly when that was. It says last Thursday. It was probably a month ago. Wall Street expects prisons to get the biggest boost from Trump's plans to deport illegal immigrants. Now, again, I'm not saying that's bad, and it should be done, but it should be taken in the context and the consideration of how long they've been here. Have they birthed children here? Are they contributing to society? Have they ever committed a crime? There's a lot of factors that go into play. Just to take, their figure of 10 million or 12 million, which is really probably 30 million, and deport them out of the country, I don't think that's the right thing to do. I think it should be looked at under intense scrutiny, because a lot of these people that have come here have actually been educated, gotten good jobs, they're raising their families, and they've become contributors to society. Now, the bad ones, I think, yes, they should be deported. The Department of Homeland Security is already trying to hire 10,000 new immigration officers and 5,000 more border patrol agents. And on top of that, DHS intends to ask for more money to fund additional detention facilities. But I have to ask a question here, because I just experienced this the other day. If this indeed is what Border Control or Border Patrol is looking for, then why all these cameras down there at the Fort Stockton immigration place, before you come into Fort Stockton, they have you pull in, and before you get up to the caddy shack where the Border Patrol agent is, they have got a vast array of all kinds of different contraptions, of which I don't even know what many of them are. Some of them are cameras. They're pointed at our license plates. They're pointed at different parts of the automobile. Is it see-through cameras? I really don't know. And then the most intimidating one, as we pulled up to the caddy shack itself, was this really, it looked like a movie camera, except it had a big red lens in it, and every time it flashed, and it was actually red in your face. A very intimidating moment. And they were doing that to almost every car that passed by, right in your face. Now, for some reason, they missed me, and I don't know why, but there were certain cases where they would stop a car. We would stop for 2 minutes, maybe, and then move forward a car. And then we'd stop for another minute, and then four or five cars would just, they would pass them through. And then we would stop again. It took us about 40 minutes to get through that. My question is, what are they looking for exactly? They have drug-sniffing dogs there. What are they looking for exactly? Are they centering certain people out? Why did they wave us and three other cars through? That doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know. Take the top of the hour break. We'll be back. We'll open up the phone lines. 800-313-9443. Call in, comment, question, whatever you like. I'll continue with this at the second hour. I'm through with doubt. There's nothing left for me to figure out. I've paid a price, and I'll keep paying.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's I-C-A-N-G-E-T, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's A-P-P-S-A-P-A-R-T.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.